It's autumn. The temperature is changing. Soon it will be daylight savings time, and you know what that means.
Yeah. It's classique season.
We are officially starting our season 7 She Caps.
And we have new promo art. Brand
ooh,
new.
Ooh. New are pictures. You ready for episode 1? How do you feel about bare naked?
Honey, exactly. You're never fully dressed without a smile. And there's lots of body girls right out of the gate. And maybe it's just a painted bodysuit, but I can't tell the difference.
And I see a pop-up from a tip spot girl. It's Miss Alaska Thunderfuck playing Anna Wintour when the girls hit the runway. And we're so ready to dive in and get wet. This is another season of classic.
Ooh, so start your engines and let's go.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser.
La 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 la
la la la la la. La.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser.
Classique.
A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
Greetings, Earth Queens. I come in peace. My name's Alaska. What is yours?
Hello, I'm Willem.
Ooh la 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 la. I would just like to start out this episode by saying just something really. That's what I was gonna say. Come on, chin strap. We are on a journey. Ladies, fellas. Hi, fellas. We are on a journey back in time. I love being in the off season because we get to really dive into these seasons of classic, you know, lore.
Yeah. And my goal is to say stuff that gets me strongly worded texts from my friends who, like, I thought we were friends. Why are you talking about me?
Did that happen last time?
Oh, honey, it's happened. And I'm like, baby, watch the tapes.
Well, Jocelyn,
your shoes needed some Flonase because you were booger boots, honey. Some of these girls need to be told, and I'm just the one to do it.
Oh my gosh, you are the one to do it. That's what you're here for.
Thank you so much.
We, as you know, we just finished up with season 6, and now that means we're going back in time to the year 2015. Mm-hmm. The month was March. Date was the 2nd.
The wind was northwesterly.
It was northwesterly, a northwesterly breeze. And the time for a new season of Drag Race and a brand new crop of outstanding, iconic queens for the world to become obsessed with. Let's get into season seven.
Yes, let's get 7 in. So this was filmed in 2014, summer, and it started airing in spring of 2015.
Yeah.
Spring
and fall collection.
Uh-huh. And this is one of the episodes that started doing the fashion shows. Because before that, yeah, it was always like challenge. Like, let's set the bitch on fire. Let's try to drown her. Let's try to blow her off a turnstile. This one is different. The girls, but we'll get to that. First, they all come in. The episode's called Born Naked. So they're not only trying to push RuPaul's album, they're also trying to get these ratings up by showing some skin, honey, because skin is in.
Skin is always in. And just to put it in context, I mean, what was going on in your world back in, like, 2015 when season 7 came out? Did you watch?
I did. I remember, what was I doing? Where was I watching? I don't remember where I watched, but I know I watched.
Yeah.
And 2015, I was in March. Was when the bank took back my house and I moved to Inglewood. So I didn't have a TV, but I watched on somebody's internet somewhere.
Oh, so it was like around that time.
Yeah, I was just heavily on, I lived at LAX. Basically.
So we were AAA-ing a little, weren't we?
DWV ended in 2014, so AAA started in 2014 too. Yeah, so we must have been DWVing.
Because I remember, you know, going to your Inglewood place, and I remember we were like doing the Christmas song, mm-hmm. Ugly Christmas Sweater.
Yeah, and then I think we were on a UK tour for some of season 7. I feel like that's when we dressed up as comic book people.
Oh, okay. See, I have vast swaths of emptiness in my memory. Memories. The show just jumps right in. And like you said, they were really looking for ways to go bigger, better, you know, never before seen. And so they were like, we're going to give you like 8,000 looks in this first mm-hmm. episode. We're going to put the girls through it by doing a fashion show. But first, the girls walk into the room. There's no recap. There's no gimmicks. We just get an empty workroom and then Miss fucking Fame.
Honey. I think she came in from Glamtron because she said, "Greetings, Earthlings, I come in peace." And she is in head to toe. It's looking like Gara Sparrow. Beautiful. like Vivacious had a baby. And she's giving classic chic fashion model. I'm just wondering why we could see her face tapes. Like
maybe it was intentional. Maybe she's used to having control over the lighting.
No, don't foghorn her for face tapes.
Yeah. That was not us.
No, Miss Fame. I'm a drag queen and she's my friend. How dare you? Miss Fame,
that was not us. That was our horrible producer.
Yeah, no.
Everything awful that gets said about anyone on this show is the fault of our producer. I blame the edit. A lot of things we don't even say. They cut stuff up. They chop it around just to make it like more salacious. But I know that we've never uttered a questionable phrase about anyone.
Never. Check Reddit.
Can you say something hateful blame in it on cut the up Reddit. Speech right now? And then I'll put it in there after you say you chopped the thing up. Is that funny to you?
I hated this look. I thought this look was gutter. I thought this look was ugly. I thought she looked absolutely horrendous. And I was offended by the fact that she walked into the room looking this way.
I'm just glad Serena Chacha is gone.
Girl, that was 2 seasons ago. You're still hung
was
up.
Was
You're
it?
Still hung up. You're
Why am still, I still hung mad? Up. Still
Salila
mad.
Cha Cha.
Wow.
Salila Cha Cha.
Poor me. So next up in the room is Ginger Minj, and she just says, "Hi, fellas."
Such a that's a funny entrance line. Simple, to the point, and funny.
She comes into the room with that gaze that says, "Does this place have wings?" Like, hey guys,
can I see a menu?
Yeah, and her interview chair says, she says, "I'm an overweight, asthmatic, chain-smoking cross-dresser from Orlando, Florida." And she says she's a glamour toad.
Neat, petite, and ready to eat. This is, I mean, Ginger Minj was already a mainstay in the world of pageantry and drag. And so it was really exciting to see her make her way onto the Drag Race.
And she says she'll never be the pretty girl, but she'll always be beautiful. Which I love.
I may not be the pretty one, but I will always be the beautiful one.
I was leaving the theater and I heard some mom go to her daughter from Death Row. She's like, "That was the pretty one." And I was like, I turned around and said, "Yes, it was." Not anymore. Booger Boots looks like hamburger. Next up to the stage, we have a Jaden Dior Fierce. And she just says, "How y'all doing?"
I love
she's
it.
She's doing the Ray LaTray, "How y'all doing" mix.
How y'all doing?
How y'all doing?
I love it. She's 25. She's from Nashville. She is a ball of joy. And I just love Miss Jaden Dior Fierce. And I love that entrance line. How y'all doing?
Me too. Like anybody's going to say anything back.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Violet Chachki comes into the room.
No, just give me something else. No.
No. I want something else.
And that's basically this, but with la. Ooh, la la, la la, la la, la la.
And she like runs out of air or like turns it into a whisper at the end. Like she says it to herself. She's like, ooh, la la.
Yeah.
It's like those videos where they take out all the audio and you just hear the clinking of the bracelets.
Very that.
I love it. 22 years old from Hotlanta, which I believe they do say. They do say Hotlanta.
Not if you're from there. If you're from there, they don't, apparently.
As far as I know, I think that it's a well-known fact that everyone says Hotlanta. But she says her biggest gift... or her biggest strength is aesthetics, because she's very aesthetically pleasing. To be 22 and to look that good and to be that confident, how?
Honey, I was that confident at 22, but I did not look that good. I did not know that I was an Easter Island tiki statue with some blonde hair and pink lip gloss. But I could have sworn I was Violet Chachki, so I am inspired by her confidence. And I like that what she says about Miss Fame. She's like, Miss Fame has a following. She's, you know, I'm impressed, but not that impressed. And you know what I think it was? She saw the face tapes. I mean, if those face tapes weren't so out. Well, and then the little corner of it slipped so that you could see the flesh color where the blue should have been. So... Violet, I understand her not being impressed. I wasn't either.
You have to take into account, however, first of all, no queen had walked into Drag Race with face tapes on. This was a big deal. RuPaul had been doing face tapes from the beginning on Drag Race. No queen had ever dared or deigned to face tape herself until Miss Fame started it. So we have her to thank. Also, you have no idea how long she was sitting in that office room waiting to be mic'd. And then you sit there for hours. Things slip. Things shift.
No, bitch. I was first up my season, and I was in my little room for less than an hour. There's no reason that your makeup can't hold for an hour of you sitting still in a room unless there was no air. And I do know that there was a season with no air. So... we're going to take a break.
How we do Drag Race with no air?
Let's conjecture during commercial.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably, get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take down time and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Stars series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app. So how old are you? Oh, sorry. I mean, we're back.
Hello. How old are you? It was that.
Who's coming in? Who's coming in hot?
We got Max. Max says, "Well, it's about time," and he's carrying a newspaper with his name on it.
Do 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 do. She gets the world traveling, Damey music. 22 years old from Hudson, Wisconsin. She's a starlet on the rise. And a lot of some of the girls are saying, well, if she's from Wisconsin, why does she have that accent?
Uh-huh. Yeah, some of the girls. Here's the thing. Some of the girls don't like it when other drag queens do something that they're not doing. Well, why is she doing that?
Yeah.
You know, and it's immediately calls into question. Oh, she's different. What? Why? And then they have to figure it out and break it down because they want to be able to digest everything neatly. And sometimes drag isn't like that. And Max is someone who comes off sort of strange to some people. But the next girl that walks in
Max
also has
is
an
so
accent.
Strange. She's from Wisconsin.
But she makes it work totally different. I think because she's funny and it doesn't.
I've always really liked Max, and like, what a point of view, and a very strong point of view, and the accent is part of it. She's very like that fancy gray haired, you know, diva model.
Yeah, she reminds me of one of those fancy racetrack dogs.
What?
A greyhound?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want to see a makeup trick? Because give me your custom prop that you had made. And let me rip it to shreds.
She rips off a corner.
And it was from an interior page. And I doubt that I doubt Miss Fame would rip up the like custom printed part.
Right off the front.
I really doubt that she would that. But it did seem as though Miss Fame went over and ripped up her shit sight unseen. That's how they made it look.
Katya comes in and says, "Come on, season 7, but in Russian. And then she says, "Is this a Shulman bar mitzvah?"
Yes.
And she's 32 from Boston.
She says, "I'm your average run-of-the-mill Russian bisexual transvestite hooker." And she's at the intersection of glamour and comedy, where she'll be on that corner selling her ass.
Is that down the street from Fashion and Wit, where Rosé resides?
It's down the block.
That was my least
favorite
thing.
Next block over.
And I want to correct this. The outline says that Katya is a bisexual transvestity hooker. So she's a transvestity hooker.
Transvestities are airbrushed on, just so you know.
Jasmine
so
Masters.
Funny, instantly, and gorgeous. I love Katya's look.
Yeah, she said it was her grandma's Russian military uniform.
She has a funny response for everything. She's very, very funny, and this is a great entrance for sure. And you're like, is she really Russian or is she not? Like, because at first, her interview is Russian, her entrance line is Russian, so she's very like playing with expectation from the get go.
Mm-hmm. Someone who ain't playing from the get go, Jasmine Masters. She just says, "I'm here. We made it, bitches." And she said, "Jasmine is class." And elegance.
She is.
She is. That church lady.
And abs. And abs, honey. Fucking abs.
Stacked.
Jasmine Masters is having a great time. And that I appreciate. It's you can tell that she's been wanting to be there for a long time. She's the Los Angeles staple queen. Like, you don't know Los Angeles if you haven't worked with or seen Jasmine Masters. So it's very exciting to see her come in. And her energy is infectious. Miss Hiya, honeys, I'm home. Mrs. Kasha Davis.
She says she's an international celebrity housewife performer because one time she performed in Canada. And she's from that good old Rochester place that birthed like Darien Lake and Pandora Box, like comedy queens. Queens that have to rely on their mouths to get by. The top ones.
I know you rely on your mouth a lot, especially on dates.
I read your book, bitch.
What?
You used your mouth a little too, ho.
Sideways, coming out the side of my mouth.
Honey. But Kasha and Jaden are talking about titties and stuff, and Violet sneaks in. And this, they don't even have a close-up of this on Violet because it was so cunty and quick, I'm sure, but the cameras got to her. She was like, what? But Violet says, I'm jealous. I don't have any fat to push together.
Girl.
Like, not trying to make friends from the get.
No. But you need that on Drag Race. You need someone who's not afraid to be cunty. You know?
Courtney knows cunty, but that was last season.
So I'm glad Violet's there because you need those, like, those moments like that.
But also, truth. I mean, that's how big girls make titties.
Right. Exactly. This one's McDonald's and this one's Burger King.
This one's for the girls.
This next queen to walk into the workroom is Miss Trixie Mattel. She also has a newspaper. Trend alert,
girl.
Newspapers.
Those Wisconsin girls, they just love Milwaukee, wherever she's from. They just love a prop.
They do. She says, this isn't Maury Povich.
Not funny.
24 years old, from Milwaukee. The funny part is when she walks up to the table and says, yeah, I'm a hair and makeup artist.
And not everybody at MAC is an artist. I will just say that.
And everyone at the table is just like, that's a funny edit. I'm sure
it was something else, but I'm sure nobody just did. There was this 3 moments of silence after while everyone stared.
Just
and dogged her
scratch.
Out visually. Yeah.
We're seeing the beginnings of what would become the iconic Trixie Mattel character. And that's why this season is really, like, really exciting and interesting to watch.
Jasmine Masters Candy Ho. Bianca fucking Del Rio.
Yeah.
To put that in context, this is around the year when Lady Bunny put out the...
They're Vogue? All hoes.
Vogue remake, because it was all about season 7. But speaking of hoes, Miss Candy Ho.
Uh-huh. Is she related to Queen Bee Ho?
I think
from Puerto
so,
Rico?
Yes. I think so, yes.
The Ho Dynasty.
I might be completely, you know, making that up, but I think they are of the same house of Ho.
Some Ho's dynasty and some are from the Ho Dynasty.
Exactly.
And she's definitely from the Ho Dynasty. She is 28 and she is from Puerto Rico. And she walks in like a beautiful Puerto Rican girl.
So stunning. And I love this beachy, like, jumpsuit she's wearing.
J-Lo vibes. Very that.
Very Jennifer Lopez type of moment.
Yeah.
Beautiful and sassy. I love that Candy Ho is another queen who's not afraid to give it to you right. How old are you?
How old are you?
It doesn't happen yet. But next, in walks Pearl. What's up?
Honestly, so droll from the get. And
so droll.
It feels like it's either a mechanism for someone who's cripplingly shy or just how someone is when they're confident and cool and, you know, just there for the ride. You really can't tell what's going on with Pearl yet. And that's why I like her. I liked her from the beginning in this.
Yeah.
And she describes herself as a robotic Stepford Wife bitch. And the paint is
know
definitely
thyself.
Bitch face. Yeah, honey. I love
it. Yeah. She's completely owning that she's, you know, she's from New York. She does not give a fuck one way or the other what you think about her or what you have to say to her. She has a point of view and she's confident and she's sickening.
And taste. Like,
oof,
to give beauty,
so much
but
taste.
With that edge, with the ear and the chin strap. Not
yeah.
mad.
Come on, chin strap. Kennedy Davenport, iconic. And when she walks in, she says, I don't need a clever catchphrase. I'm just going to say, well, hello.
She
love.
She waits for someone to recognize her, a fan. And Jasmine Masters is that fan. She's a bitch. I've been wanting to meet you for so long.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to meet you. And it's one of those things where it's nice that if she feels like she already has a built-in friend.
Yes.
And in Untucked, someone clocks her as pageant, right? Trixie says, oh, I could tell Kennedy was pageant, right? When she walked in.
Well, I mean, she is.
She was giving me perfection. She wasn't just giving me pageant. Like, it was a dance costume, but it had a bustle in the back, and then she had an updo. Yet it wasn't like a old school updo. It was like modern.
Yeah, exactly.
I love everything Kennedy did.
I love Kennedy's entrance look. It's like one of my favorite looks of the season.
I mean, the Davenports don't play.
They do not. The Dancing Diva of Texas. So glad to see Miss Kennedy Davenport in the building. It's a big deal.
It is.
Next up into the room is Ms. Sasha Bell.
She said, "Hey, it's me. Say hello to my little friends." And she comes in with two white machine guns.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that grannies are fierce and they carry big guns.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha Bell also has an OnlyFans now, which is interesting to see.
It's hard to believe. It's so wild. And I think she's so charming and so sort of naive in this entrance into the... She's like, yeah, I've seen every episode of Drag Race and I've cracked the code and I'm going to win because I've done my homework. I like her look. I think that she has a little bit of, you know, roughness around the edges, but I like that in drag queens.
Yeah, the drag look for me for Sasha is like a drag queen was given $250 and said, go crazy on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
Like very Busy Bee, vinyl, like the Fame costume, but 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad at it.
And it's hard to imagine that just a few short years later, we would completely be seeing her ass on Twitter and OnlyFans and killing it. Stunning. Oh my God, it must be 120 degrees in here.
Oh, she's like a sex rodeo clown.
She What's really her name? Is.
Bilbo Pickles or something?
Frisbee Jenkins.
Frisbee Jenkins.
Bilbo Pickles sounds like her cousin, though.
Bilbo what?
Bilbo Pickles.
That's her cousin. That's her play cousin.
Bilbo Pickles and Frisbee Jenkins. Got it.
If you haven't had a chance to check out Sasha Bell on OnlyFans or on Twitter or wherever.
You're only getting half the story.
You're only getting half the story. And she still does drag and is lovely in drag as well. But just, I mean, fabulous. We love Sasha Bell.
Very chill.
Ms. Tempest Dujour comes in next. Who's ready for some hot tuna casserole? Because mama's home and she gives birth to a baby.
Amber alert. It's her baby. I was wondering, is the tuna a misogynist drag joke? But then I saw her deliver a baby and I loved it.
Yeah. And she's coming in at 46 years old from Tucson, Arizona. She has kids. She's a mother. She has a weight loss journey. And Candy is not seeing or featuring. Candy says, I think her drag is a little old-fashioned, and her greeting to her is, so how old are you?
Yeah, it's really confrontational, kind of.
Yeah.
But we don't have time for them to fight yet that much because there's a video message.
Why don't we take a break and we'll be right back.
Is this the first year that they did She Don't Already Had Hers? Is this for the instead of the he-mail call?
I think so.
I feel like it could be.
You know what? We get a video message from RuPaul. There are a lot of fashion references. She's a baby with a moving mouth. Welcome, bitches. Lil Ruru here. You want to grow up to be supermodel of the world? Cut to Miss Fame going, yes. Then you better learn how to sissy that walk, girl, because you're born naked and the rest is Balenciaga.
Ru comes into the workroom and she says, I hope you're tucked tight and ready for the ride of your lives. Everything you think you know about RuPaul's Drag Race is about to change.
RuPaul looks very good. Like,
the work looks fresh.
She looks very well rested. Doesn't mm-hmm. look worked, but just looks
well, that's the
very
secret.
Healthy, glowing.
I think it's the cucumber water she must be drinking. You know how rejuvenative that is. But she comes up in the workroom and tells the girls that they need to make an unforgettable first impression, which is always a good idea for a queen when they walk into a room.
Yeah.
So good advice, Rue. And the girls need to model two runway looks, one for spring and one for fall.
And yes.
The runway is sponsored by Decoy, which is the product for hair. His name's Daniel Coy, who runs it. And I asked him if he wanted to be on today. And he says, baby, I'm on set with Anne Hathaway. And I was like, okay, never mind.
Okay. Well, we get just too many sickening looks this runway. But there are a few people sitting on the edge of the stage at this fashion show. Mm-hmm. Michelle Visage, RuPaul, Carson Kressley, Matthew Anderson is there.
And Anna Wintour.
I know. Can you believe Anna Wintour? They got Anna?
She squeezed it in, honey.
And our friend Magnus Hastings is taking the photos.
Oh, nice.
He gets one frame of footage, which I thought was very...
But a Chiron. They put his name there.
Yes, he did get a name check, which was nice. I don't fully recall how this came about, that they asked me to be a part of it, but I remember being so terrified.
Did you get paid?
I don't remember. I mean, it might have been a per diem or some, you know, some like small amount, but it was a big deal because they're never really, this was before they had really invited queens back to be part of the sort of scenery and set, really. Mm-hmm. They've done it. They do it a lot now, but this was like toward the beginning of them doing that. And I was fucking petrified. And I had no idea who the fuck Anna Wintour was.
Do you think Matthew played a part in getting you there? He was a big fan of yours. And he sat next to you.
Perhaps. Thank God Matthew is there. He was very nice and very calming. But I was like, I was really scared of RuPaul. And I was like, they were telling me lines to say. Some of them were mine, but they were telling me lines to say. And then if I didn't say it right, I would have to say it again. Like, I was really, really scared. It was a terrifying day. And I had no idea that Anna Wintour had an English accent.
Oh, yeah.
I would have done a little bit of an English accent, but instead I just did it as myself.
You don't sound like Anna Wintour or Lady Bunny, bitch. Sad bride.
Hey, Willem.
Where did you get the Chanel that you were wearing?
It's not Chanel.
Not Chanel?
It's my mangled Chanel suit, like fucking Marge Simpson. Because I still have this suit, and anytime I have to wear something, I wore it recently.
You wore it in our Nogue thing.
Yeah. Because if I ever need like a tweed looking suit, this is the one. It's the only one I own. And I will keep wearing it.
It's cute. I love
it. I've never laundered it.
Good drag. You don't have to. It just knows. Did you recognize any of the girls as they walked out? Did you know any of them? Did you try to trip any of them?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that I really knew any of the girls at that time. Maybe I had seen Pearl online a little bit or around New York. She seemed familiar to me. Probably Jasmine Masters, too.
I knew Fame, Jasmine, and Kennedy.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much all I knew. But I was excited by some of these runways. Who on there made your pussies queef?
Let's start with spring because they do two different runways. There's spring and then there's fall. Spring, I feel like Kennedy Davenport came out in this beautiful floral. She looked like Oprah.
The yellow,
It really was like, this is who she is. This is her point of view. And she gave us that right away. Mm-hmm. It was like very much her personality. The clothes weren't wearing her. And I remember just watching and I was like, oh, I really liked her.
Mm-hmm. I really liked Pearl. I liked her point of view with the white lace, giving Nooch on the runway, like the model. But I also thought that Fame looked pretty great with this red roses and corset dress. But that didn't give me spring. That gave me fall.
Right.
But
I mean, classic, you know, classic fan. It was really all about the fall runway for me because mm-hmm. that's when shit really got gaggy. Like Max in this oversized Pretty jacket hell. With the long hair and the sort of like the black boot. Like mm-hmm. she looked really high fashion, and that was what it called for, you know?
I thought Tempest looked great in the fall runway too with that quilted poncho thing. And she yes. gave them a totally different point of view than her spring. Her spring was like gorgeous St. John's woman, Grecian on a hill, tunic top, very rich. And then she went yes. like Ferruzia Balk's mom.
I really...
And I loved that point of view and that switch.
I like that Tempest was like, okay, yes, I'm going to give you camp, but I can also like go for it. And she yeah. really did.
Anybody and you can, didn't like?
Well, there was no one that really like bothered me. This was really a major moment with Violet's mm-hmm. tartan yeah. flip-a-doo look. And Miss Fame, wait a second, with that feather on the head and the gold and the little tiny points on the...
Fame brought it every time.
Really, really stepping it up and turning it. Yeah. Really, everybody... Katya with the camouflage and the animal tails was... I mean, you instantly were like, okay, I see who this is. Violet's tartan flip-a-doo was...
RuPaul and Carson's history. Mouths both went open. They went agape at that point. And from what I know, from what Violet said, that wasn't exactly planned. It wasn't planned to. It wasn't planned to do that.
What, like she just did it?
Yeah, that was just, it was just lined with sequins, and that's how it was.
That's so fucking smart. Yeah, see?
Like she pulled it over her arms and then was like, oh, this works as a reveal. That's what I heard, I'm pretty sure.
She's a smart girl. I got to wear that outfit once.
Yeah.
We were on tour together and there is video somewhere of me doing the tartan reveal in her actual outfit.
It's so well executed and just like gaggy. Like every so drag gaggy. Queen watching it was probably just like, oh, I want to do that. Mad.
Yeah. And it went ahead and inspired an entire challenge because on All Stars, we did
2-in-1.
2-in-1 looks. Some of us did it. Some of us just covered ourselves in garbage bags
and cameras. The only look I really didn't love was the fall Sacha Bell like
Mugler.
Yeah, because I know it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like the Mugler Chimera dress, like that's, and it just feels like a wish version of that.
I think if certain things were eliminated or changed, the hair, the earring,
my ability to see,
I feel like the dress on its own could be really cool, but then you yeah. add the fur around the collar and the pageant earring
and the length is wrong. The length is like I shouldn't be able to see that shoe in the back. Like that should be gown, honey, if you want to give it a gown. I also thought Trixie missed an opportunity because both of her outfits were like the same little A-line dress.
Yeah.
Just different pattern. I thought she could have come out stronger a little bit. I like Pearl's second outfit.
Oh, I love the headphones on Pearl.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Very, very Jay season one Project Runway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The
girls go back to the workroom. They're going back to the workroom.
Figure out your life.
And they have Katya reading, doing the "Who are these girls?" Talking head interview.
It's like written into the script of it. You know, I'm looking around the room, and there are some really cute guys.
Honey, they
everyone's
can
sort of getting out of drag, and I start to see like.
At this point, this is like what Disney did with like the Peter Pan mermaid swimming girls with the Snow White dancing girls. Like you can use the same template just. Plug in the different girl's name and her exactly. line about the men. There's yeah. no new Drag Race anymore. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Someone will talk about this. But Ginger, Katya does say that Ginger goes from Kathy Bates to Bob Hoskins, which is accurate.
Okay.
And hilarious.
Well, RuPaul calls in the pit crew who may be nude. I don't know. I mean, they have censored bars over their genitals. That's all I mean, you know, I mean. And that gives a hint as to this week's main challenge, which is resort wear that reveals to nude. You will be walking the runway nude.
Yeah, and this
illusion.
This just gives me season three, where they did their naked photo shoot, and you know, you have the one girl that's trepidatious about it, Delta, and then you have you know, another girl that's like, I just lost a lot of weight, and now I'm doing a nude challenge. But also RuPaul's new album is called Born Naked, so
very smart marketing.
Yeah, I feel like that definitely says what it needs to say about the challenge. But Jasmine says even more. She says, "No tea, no shade, no pink lemonade. You don't want to see some of these girls naked."
So rotted.
Jasmine ain't wrong.
What do you think they were going for?
What is that in your hand?
There's a lot of... Oh, it's a clamp. It's for, like, clamping up things.
She's putting a pen in it. She's making it a super pen.
Oh, yeah.
Just fiddling.
What do you think they were trying to go for here? Do you think that they were like, it's really gonna sizzle, like people are gonna see the blurred out things and like be flipping through channels and be like, oh my God, there's a bunch of naked people. And then the girls all showed up in like beige body suits and like undergarments and like, if we could get our hands on the style prompt for this challenge, it would be very helpful because it's talked about a lot. They're like, Sasha, everyone received the same instructions as you did. Some girls said the instructions were unclear. Some girls said it was clear as day. Some girls said they were helping each other. Get ready for this.
I'm not sure what Sasha got, but like some of the girls came out in undecorated bodysuits. But they had that basic nude illusion thing on it. She didn't have anything. She was in an American Apparel nude leotard, maybe a Capizio. But I thought her biggest sin on the runway was that, I mean, we're not at the runway yet, but like, you don't wear a black bra with a nude bodysuit.
No.
Period.
I thought the queens who wore the airbrushed bodysuits, it worked better than people who wore like garments. Like Max was wearing
I thought Max looked cool. I didn't understand the crutches.
She looked cool, but was it naked? It was like, no, it wasn't. It was beige undergarments.
If you watch Untucked, which I do, I saw in it that the girls were saying that they thought the prompts meant go naked how your drag character would go naked. That's why, you know, Kennedy's over the top, done Cleopatra gorgeous. Max is like robot Blade Runner.
She was wearing clothes. Bot. She had on like a small skirt.
Did she? Like, I thought it was lingerie. It looked like a lingerie old Mary skirt. Widow. Yeah, it's Mary Widow. That's an undergarment.
I liked Trixie's interpretation because that was very much how her character would be nude, because she's like, I'm a Barbie doll, so she doesn't have nipples. Yeah, she did
great. No, she's Skipper or Midge, honey. Don't call her a Barbie. Not yet. She's a Barbie now. She's a Barbie now.
Well, why don't we talk more about this nude delusion when we come right back?
Okay, well,
we're back. And I just want everyone out there listening to know that we are doing this episode fully nude. We have to, you know, our team is really going overboard because they have to blur everything, like every frame of footage. Because we do film every episode. We don't release it. It's just for us. But we have a team.
Continuity.
Yeah. Really going overboard with the blurring.
It's called Forever Dog because they're constantly working for us. Forever. It's a lot of blurring. But you know, you have to blur it because sometimes you want to grow as you walk down the runway, and sometimes a butterfly starts off on a cocoon, and this is the cocoon.
That edit. And,
honey, Jasmine said, take a shot every time Jasmine said cocoon, because she said it like eight times. Just they're making her look dopey to RuPaul. And RuPaul's like, okay.
And they just cut to RuPaul saying nothing. Now, do you think Jasmine went on and on for 20 minutes like this?
No, I don't. But I do think that there's better uses of hula hoops than it feels like a homemade children's toy. Here, climb to this end and see what comes out the other end.
Well, why don't we? I mean, everyone pretty much wears, you know, what the challenge is, which is nude. So who were your favorites and who were your least favorites?
My favorite runway total was Kennedy Davenport.
Okay.
Because it had the most accessorization. My second favorite was Katya because of presentation, how she just bent over and showed her ass. And I texted her and found out she was not naked. She was in a nude thong. They made her wear one.
Okay.
I thought a lot of the other girls looked nice. I thought some of them looked not nice.
Well, my favorites...
Yeah, give it to us.
My favorites were Katya. I loved the way her cover-up removed. Like, she reached to the back, pulled it to the front. It was very elegant the way it came off, and she stepped out. Her hair was also helping the whole thing. Like, her hair covered a lot of her body, but she was pretty much naked. And I thought it was like, oh, she's also giving hippies. So it had like a time and a place. I thought it was very well done.
Yeah.
And also Ms. Fame. Can we talk about.
Yeah, not mad. Not mad at Fame or Trixie. Both of them looked great.
Ms. Fame's bodysuit was done in a way that really read, like the camera caught it the same way as her skin. And so looked just really beautiful and flawless.
Yeah, some of these girls look like they were dipped in peanut butter.
Chunky or smooth?
The kind you got to mix because the oil came to the top.
Chunky. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Who were your least successful?
My least successful was Sacha Bell on this. And just because, there was...
It was... Yeah.
Yeah, the... Yeah. It was plain. I mean, Violet didn't have much on either other than some sparkle, but like she looked like somebody was fucking her right after this for a lot of money. And in my book, that's high praise.
And she started out in a full look. She had the pink hat, the pink like ruffle knee length dress. Like if you didn't know, you would think that was a standalone look. And then she went completely nude from that. So it was, I thought she did a really great job.
It was giving if 1920s Daddy Warbucks hired a hooker.
Right. And very bold. You are there on that first day and you are sort of staking your claim as like, this is who I am and you better watch out. And she exactly did that. She was like, bitch, I am going to walk out there not wearing fucking anything because the challenge is to be naked. You want naked? Here, bitch.
Here. I mean,
and I thought it was very bold, and I thought she looked stunning.
You got naked your first day in the workroom, too, and so did I. Well, I think using your body as a weapon or a threat is okay in this competition.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Letting the girls know.
Oh, can we talk about RuPaul's look?
Yes, and I have tea on that, too.
What?
So this is the look that was, like, all blue and slashed, and there was a nude body illusion suit under it, too, which was hand-painted and gorgeous.
Beautifully done. Trinity K. Bonet inspired.
This dress kind of is like tattered, like it was like been through hell and back. Yeah. Matthew had this picture of RuPaul that he liked to show people where it was the rest of her had been through hell. Like the face was like half a skeleton rotting off and it was RuPaul. And he started showing to all of us when he got mad at her. But it was one of those things where certain people's have copies of it. And I had one on my old computer and I've been looking for it. I think Calpurnia has the old hard drive. I want to find it so bad because it's such a beautiful picture. It's like, it's why you should never get Matthew mad at you because the things he could do to your pictures, you were like, oh, what did you do to RuPaul?
She's good at Photoshop.
he was the master.
Like the best.
Yeah. And this was like one of those dresses that everybody was like, oh, it's beautiful. Like a blue ghost.
Yeah.
He made her like this horrible like banshee in it, like screaming.
Really cool.
Are her legs printed onto the dress?
Her legs are printed onto the leggings that's under the dress, I think. Or it might be.
It's beautifully done.
It's so
and really sickening. And everything. I wasn't joking about Trinity K. Bonet. Because she did on the finale. She did the airbrushed bodysuit. So this was new drag technology.
Girl, that's what happens.
I think they said, let's do a whole runway of it and let's do some RuPaul of it.
I mean, it's also Born Naked, the rest is drag. She wanted to be naked. I mean, yeah. she always takes her ideas from the best girls. Raja has inspired looks. You've inspired looks. Violet. The good girls.
I was also cracking up at the judges' like quips during this runway. Just a few. The Miss Fame, I want to live forever.
Oh yeah, we Michelle get, snuck that in.
Yeah, we get LaGuardia, Newark, Kennedy. That's so funny. I know it's been said a million times, but it's so funny. Max comes out with the crutches. RuPaul says, brace yourself, Lee.
Yeah.
So funny. And then they get asked, like, who was the most gutter bucket? Who were you least impressed by? And Jasmine was like, I said Sasha because she just came out plain.
Which is what everybody's thinking. So what's wrong with saying it? And Miss Fame says Jaden. Kennedy says Trixie, which is the perfect precursor for All Stars, you know, 3. Like, Tempest says Ginger, Jasmine says Sasha, Candy says Tempest, and Violet says Sasha.
This is the question you ask if you want to start the season off with some drama, because they were like, this girl isn't even on stage. This girl, I just don't. I don't think she's fighting enough.
We need some stakes, right. So we're going to ask you the question we usually save for the end now to get right. this going. There weren't enough steaks, so they threw some more beef on the fire, bitch, and they're all eating it now.
There's some steaks going on. Go
ahead.
And Kathy Griffin.
Oh, yeah, and with all the hair. She's yes. there. This is also the good moment when we get Michelle wagging her finger and giving the no meme with no. Candy Ho and her beard. She doesn't like it.
She also had a problem with Violet's body, and is this...
You know, yeah. Michelle always has a problem with the skinny girl's body. She had a problem with Courtney's body. She had a problem with Violet's body. We see this as a trend alert on Michelle. We can just say this because it's happened more than once. It's not. So it's something that happens.
The conversation has evolved a lot on that because, I mean.
West Coast girls don't pad. Ask Morgan. Remember? Bodies change and thoughts changes. We aren't going to hold Michelle to it because we don't give a fuck. But. Yeah, exactly. It did birth a funny meme with her saying no to Candy Ho, just wagging that square cut jersey nail.
Yeah.
Duck bill ass.
And what were you going to say about Candy Ho's makeup?
About the beard?
Yeah.
I don't have anything to say. I don't have any room to say anything about it.
Okay.
But I feel like I was going to say something.
Sisters of the beard.
Oh, this part. Yeah, and Untucked.
The beard.
She's like, she's trying to, they catch her in the mirror trying to highlight her mustache a little bit more and make it lighter. Because the contour is confusing once you see it. But also, while they're talking about each other's makeup in Untucked, you know, Sasha Bell is saying Pearl how she should be more personable and all these things. But they're all lit so poorly. They look like Halloween jack-o'-lanterns. Because this is also the first year that they're not in the rooms, right?
Right.
They're not in this the Gold Bar, Silver Lounge. They're backstage behind the runway with terrible no lighting overhead. Yeah,
side lighting.
That too. And you see Jen Sander sitting on the ground, Indian style.
Wow.
with her little ponytail.
Well, the winner of the challenge, despite Michelle having a problem with her body, is Ms. Violet Tchotchke. Congratulations. Congrats. She was bold and it paid off. And
but also, no respect for Michelle either. These editors give it to her too. Cause right after Violet is announced as one, Michelle gives this ugh look. Like they're not doing Michelle any favors either.
She looks over it. It's as though, I mean, I don't know if this really happened, but it's as though Michelle looks over at RuPaul and is like, how could you do that? We also get, as soon as Violet's announced as the winner, Miss Fame is literally like, literally rolls her eyes. Who knows when those things actually happen? But if you do it, it can be used as a response, you
Honey,
know?
They cut to Tempest rolling her eyes so far back, I thought she needed new nose plier to get him back. After Candy eyes. Says something. Cut and eyes.
Hosed mad. Now, cut did you watch...
Eyes,
on,
cut and...
Oh, wait. There's a lip sync. The bottom two are Tempest and Candy. Now, listen. Candy, okay, she had issues, but did she deserve to be in the bottom?
I'm not sure if she deserved to be in the bottom, but her attitude and ageist comments to a panel of people over 40, I don't think really engendered a good nature from
that,
others.
That did it.
Well, yeah, that... I do. And I think it was a setup that they were going from the beginning because the person she was rude to,
oh,
she was now
right.
in the... And I think it very well could have been Sasha Bell in the bottom too.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there, so I don't know what went on. But this is the part where Katya says, I don't know what Miss Crab Lady's doing in that lip sync, but that bearded hoe is turning it out. Katya says that about the lip sync, and it just cements Katya in my heart and my brain as a standout for the season. And Candy wins the lip sync, punching all the air around her. And Tempest goes home, which is sad because she says she has a lot of great looks in her suitcase. But also, now's a good time to talk about Tempest because she had lost her bird. And then the bitch that found it has been calling her a faggot online. And Tempest had to call the police. They found her expensive parrot, these people, and then they said, y'all are faggots. And they're not giving the bird back. And then the lady tried to sell the bird. This is all happening now.
This is all happening currently.
Now,
I saw a little bit of the social
honey,
media.
Give Tempest her bird.
Give her her bird. It won't do.
It won't.
It's not proper.
Don't make me hold a vigil for that bird. I think it's an African gray parrot, too.
That's a fucking expensive bird, by the way. And
there's half
the
of her act
ones.
Gone. How's she going to teach another bird to breathe in her anus?
Oh, my God. Now, some things happened in Untucked. Nothing really much happened.
They deciphered Max out real quick. They said, well, what part of Wisconsin are you from, girl? And the way that Ginger reads him or her is so roundabout and so drag queeny. Like, when you came in, I was like, girl, this is not search for the Queen of England and search for the Queen, but you looked good, girl. You were doing that. So where the fuck are you from, bitch, that you talk like that? It was basically that. Like,
there's
she's like, yeah, you
that.
Did that. I was feeling that, but why the fuck do you talk like that? It was that. It was very that.
There's a lot of that. We also get the producer saying, okay, ladies, we are on hard ice.
You can have some water, but you're on hard ice.
We're really seeing behind the veil at this point. And we got to see everybody's acceptance on Skype. Everyone being told that they're going to be on Drag Race. That was really, really sweet. I really liked that. It was cute. And I will say...
Really the one season that's on YouTube that isn't... Like, it's not... It wasn't on TV. It was
yeah,
just
because
on YouTube.
By then they realized that some drag queens had YouTubes and they had to compete... Because at that point, I had more YouTube followers than they did. And that stayed like that for a few many years and not no more. But yeah, that's why I think they put it on YouTube.
Yeah. And what an excellent season. I have to say, and you said this earlier, but the level of taste and the level of style that these queens have, they all are really, really memorable, so stylish. Pearl, Max, Violet, Katya,
Kennedy,
Trixie, Miss Fame, Mrs. Kasha Davis, Kennedy Davenport. We could just name everyone because everyone is memorable. And so, I mean, I think it's a really
for
exciting
good
season. I'm glad we're doing it for good reasons.
Okay.
I think it's an exciting season. I'm really glad we're diving into it.
I said that we should have gone back to season 4 and talked about that again, but we'll do 7. We'll do 7, bitch. And thank you so much for coming along on the ride with us and for joining us on Race Chaser Classic this week. I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska. There's always time for a podcast. We would love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe. Take a moment to leave us a rating, too.
And follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. Our Race Chaser account's Race Chaser Pod. And our Mom Podcast account is Mom Podcast.
Plus bonus video content available now at patreon.com/Willem. You can search for Race Chaser content by searching the hashtag Race Chaser or just scroll down. It's there. Trust me.
And email us whatever you want at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
All right.
Some bitch has a heart out. We have to go.
We were H-E-R-E, but now we are G-O-N-E.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.